So, Brian, how can my real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge?
You need to start using HDPhotoHub.com. All you do is upload your photos and your clients get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically.
That sounds pretty good. So how do I get started?
Well, it's pretty easy, Rich. All you do is register at HDPhotoHub.com. If you use the referral code SHOOTINGSPACES, you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free.
Free?
I did say free.
Okay.
HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's HDPhotoHub.com.
This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome, everybody. We're having a great time out here in California, and I've got my partner, Brian Berkowitz. How are you doing out there in New York, Brian?
Good. Thank you, Rich. Always good to speak to you. What's going on over there?
It's now hit above 90, so now we'll be in the 95 to 110 range for the next six months. And you get used to it. Got a nice swimming pool out in my backyard. But busy. And I don't know if the business is going up or down. And I keep asking agents, and they just said, well, it's busy right now. So real happy.
Yeah, maybe. It's funny because all the agents out here in New York are telling me that the, it's tanking the real estate market out here. But who knows? I'm busy. So not
but is
my
that
problem,
affecting you? The
real it's estate? Not. I mean, I'm busy. So I don't, it's probably just real estate agents complaining like they normally do, but, I'm busy, so I can't complain.
Yeah. Great.
Weeks are busy. So filling up.
What we got today, podcast master.
Podcast master. So we have a great interview today. Somebody we've had before on our show. And we thought we'd bring him on again after, I don't know if I want to call it controversy. But after a lot of the comments he's gotten on an article he recently wrote. So first I'll just introduce Gary Gomez, who you've been with us, I guess, maybe a couple months ago. I don't remember exactly how long ago it was.
Yeah, it was back in March.
Back in March when you were at that point releasing your tutorial. And now you started writing for PFRE, right?
Yeah, I've written maybe 10 or so blog posts on PFRE. Just contributing there as regularly as I can.
Okay, cool. Now, this conversation is not going to really be about you and your work per se. So, but just in case people miss the first one, why don't you just give everyone your website URL in case they want to just, follow along and put a name to the face and all that stuff.
Sure.
Face to the name. Did I say that backwards?
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm an architectural photographer in Atlanta, Georgia. And my portfolio website is garygomez.com, spelled GAREYGOMEZ. And then I also have a tutorial for real estate photography, and that's at masteringrealestatephotography.com.
Cool. And I think it's interesting that you preface that by saying you're an architectural photographer, because I think that might come into a little bit of a play later in our discussion. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly about an article you wrote, I think it was a week or two ago, about window pulls and exposing for the window. And let me pull it up so I can give everyone the exact title of the article: Realistic Real Estate Photos, Why Window Pulls Don't Make Sense. And essentially, why don't you give everyone the gist of the article without getting too specific? And then we can talk about a lot of, we can talk about both sides of it and a lot of the controversy that has stemmed a little bit and see where the conversation takes us.
Okay. I knew it was going to ruffle a few feathers. I think I said something to that effect early in the article, kind of like a hear me out kind of a thing. What I've been noticing a lot in real estate photography is exposing the windows so dark that they're sometimes even darker than the interior. And in most of the photos that I look at for architecture and from photographers that I admire, including real estate photographers whose work I admire, the windows don't tend to be that dark. So it kind of got me thinking about this over a pretty long period of time. And I just gathered a bunch of thoughts about why do I prefer windows to be a little bit brighter? Why do I think it's not necessarily making the best photo you can if you have them too dark? And so I wrote this article. It's totally an opinion piece. It's just one man's opinion And I wrote about it and I backed it up with some information as to how I arrived at sort of like a logic trail on how I arrived at this opinion. And it is how I've pretty much always exposed my windows from the beginning of shooting real estate. I've always liked them to be brighter. I didn't necessarily know why, but I kind of figured that out over the years and paying attention to what's important to me and making some decisions along the way that kind of led me down my current path and my current style.
Sure. And I mean, you got a lot of criticism from people that just said your beliefs don't make sense and none of my agents would ever go for this. But you know, you ended your article, I guess, with a, you know, two words in bold that said realistic equals relatable. So based on that, why do you feel, and this will, I guess, just give some insight into your theory here. Why do you feel that having brighter exposed exteriors that equals realistic versus what a human eye might see?
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest challenges in writing this. I knew that one would come back to me and I've thought about that too. So the idea is the dynamic range that a camera is able to capture in a single exposure is nowhere near what the human eye can see. And so when you're standing in a room and you see how bright the room is inside, but you're also looking outside the window and seeing, you know, if you think about it in camera terms, a proper exposure outside and a proper exposure inside all at the same time. We go to great lengths as photographers when we shoot interiors to make that happen in the final photo, but the human eye can just see it all in one shot. And so there's an argument to be made, and it's a fair one, that you know, the human eye does see a properly exposed window. And so the second part to this blog post that I wrote that kind of touches on that. The idea is you intuitively know it's brighter outside, even if the exposure, quote unquote, looks the same to your eye. You intuitively know something about seeing outside the window and the way the sun's hitting whatever it's hitting and the way the highlights look and the shadows look and the amount of contrast out there. It's communicating to you that it's brighter outside than it is inside. So what is it that's making that happen? Why do we see it that way in real life? And it's that kind of thought process that kind of reinforced for me that when we are, if our goal is to make a realistic photo, that's one of my biggest goals anyway. To achieve that, there are some things you have to do in your photography to kind of give that impression to the viewer, to tell that story or whatever you're trying to do. And it may not be 100% true to life, but somehow it still looks more realistic. And it, at least to me, like I said, it's all my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said to that, because I do share a lot of the similar beliefs on what you wrote, but, you know, I guess everything has its place, as we've all spoke about before prior to this. But when I do see an image where the windows are almost exposed perfectly, something about it looks off, and I don't know what it is. And, you know, I've done it myself and been like, I have to actually brighten this up because there's no way. I don't know how to explain it. There's like an uncomfortable feeling when you look at an image where the exterior is too dark. I don't know if you know what I'm referring to and you can picture an image like that.
I do, and that's the feeling I get when I see a window where I personally feel the windows are too dark. It's off-putting to me. And what I've come up with is so I lean pretty heavily on the ambient light when I'm shooting any interiors, whether it's real estate or for an architect or whoever for their portfolio. I lean heavily on the ambient light. I don't use a lot of flash. When I do, it's usually to help me overcome the bright windows and things like that. So it's a tool, but I almost never allow the flash to influence light in the scene. So if my goal is to have all the light look like it's coming from the window in my photo, I really make that happen. And there's a disconnect when you have all this bright light surrounding. So the light comes in the window and you see this hot spot on the ceiling and everything else just in front of the window on the interior of the room that you're shooting. It's all lit up beautifully with this natural light from the window, but the window itself is just dark. It doesn't make sense. You'd expect a light source to be bright, and it just, there's a disconnect in the photo. That's kind of what prompted this whole thing for me.
Well, let me ask you, Rich, because I know you've stated publicly that you typically don't use a window pull in darken mode unless absolutely necessary. But I do know that you've had some tutorials about how to do this. And we've spoke about doing some webinars down the line about this method. So, I mean, what is your opinion? I know you don't do window pulls very often unless necessary, but do you like to expose a little brighter or do you feel...
Well, I want to say, Gary, I'm in your court. I'm on your side. And I just think that the article, if it was taken wrong, I think there's maybe just a not understanding from people. And that probably me also. When I first read it, I was like, But you've got to break it down a little bit more. You're doing that now, but I think the whole thing has to be broken down a little bit more for people. People probably assume that I'm doing a window pull on window pull in darkened mode. That's just where you you expose for the window. This is a specific shot for the window view, and you are overexposing everything around the window, the view. So you don't have to mask it in, and in darkened mode, it doesn't show up when you mask it. It's just a technique, and it works when it works. Anyway, I should probably go ahead and start making a caveat going, my goal is never to do a window pull. Window pulls would be any degree also of lightness and darkness of the view. It really is not the same as... I am probably, if I was to look back in my window pulls, I'm probably, or if I'm exposing for the window view, I am probably not doing too much of a darkened shot. And I do think, without having specific examples in my mind, I know I see that a lot. And if I looked, I could probably see it a lot more, because there is a trend for these crystal clear views. And I've always been big on, you know, if it's not worth a view, don't give it a view. There's right. No reason that you have to do that. But I will say that I stem from the Scott Hargis method of exposing for the brightest thing in the scene, which is generally either the window or the light. And you expose for the window and you shoot, you light everything else. Well, that's great. And I've always loved Scott's work. I went to his workshop, but my problem is I found I didn't have the time to really do the quality, to get the lighting so where I don't need a composite. And also, I'm maybe just not as good a photographer. I'm not as good a photographer, but it's various reasons. It's speeding up whatever I've got to do. So I will be maybe exposing, because if I go to expose the view, I could be pushing everything. I'll bring my ISO down to 50 or 100. Bring my shutter speed up to 200 or whatever my max sync speed is, and I'm still not getting the view. So I cut my losses and I go back about 50%, and I'll go into an 80th of a hundredth of a second for the window view, and I will see if it's dark enough. And then usually I need to do a window pull, and I'm not doing a window pull necessarily to get this perfectly exposed view, unless I'm shooting a multi-million dollar house. You know, you've seen Wayne doing it a lot. Chris Miller also, they've got these listings that the view is that it is warranted, in my opinion, but I might not be thinking of it as a darker window pull, darker view. But I will say that it's a specific window pull that is selling what you're buying. But for me, I may do a window pull, but I may not do it 100%. And I can also always do a window pull and then mask back the ambient light to brighten up the window, so it isn't, as you're probably making note of, looking too dark and unrealistic and unnatural. So I'm agreeing with you, but I want you to help people to understand then a better understanding of when is it appropriate that you're not against it. And the pull in darken mode is an invaluable tool that is great to have in your bag of tricks, but just because you can do it doesn't mean you need to or you should. So yeah, I'll leave that because I'm on your side.
I've thought about this more than anybody should. I spend too much time thinking about stuff like this. There are a couple of really interesting points there, and tools in the bag. The first time I was on the show, We mentioned that briefly. They're all just tools in your bag, and you got to know how to use the tools. And you have a job in front of you, and certain tools are going to get it done. It's the automatic behavior that, and I don't know if that's a real thing or if it's just my perception, but I get this sense that a lot of photographers will do the same thing in every room that they shoot. They'll make the same set of decisions. It's almost like it's a prepackaged set of decisions on what a photo should look like, how a room should be photographed, instead of going into the room and figuring out what's going to work best for that particular room. And I do feel, and it's been my experience, that when you treat each photo as its own photo and you make certain decisions to make that photo look its best, whether it's with your composition or how you light it, or even how you don't light it. If the natural light is great, you shouldn't mess with it too much. Those sorts of decisions need to happen on a case-by-case basis. And to your point, sometimes I write about this in the article too, sometimes you're looking at the next door neighbor's garbage cans or a car parked across the street outside of the window. And those aren't great. They're not selling points of the house. They're kind of off-putting. So you're doing a service to your client and to the homeowner, in my opinion, if you minimize those distractions and focus your attention to what's more important in that particular shot. So that's one side of it. But yeah, if you have a killer view, that's a huge part of the selling points of a particular property, then that view is just as much a part of the story as anything else. I do make a point in my article about that, that it is important to capture views when they're worth capturing and when they are a selling feature, but it doesn't have to be dark. It can still be bright, and you can still communicate that it's brighter than the interior. And that's really the relative brightness, the edge of the window frame compared to the view that you see through the window itself. The interior wall needs to be darker than the exterior. If it's not, it's not consistent with reality. It just isn't. That's my take on it anyway. And so if I have a view that I need to expose for, I'll still overexpose it, but only by a stop or two. And I'll play with the highlights and shadows so that I reduce the contrast just a little bit, but you can see every bit of detail out of the window. And that's a decision I make specifically when I have a view that's important to the property that needs to be communicated effectively. But I do let the windows go brighter when the view is not so great.
And I will say, what I'm taking from this whole thing is, and you touched on a really great point, it isn't one thing, one size fits all. Different shots, different houses, different things, views, without views, whatever. I think it's really important to, in anything from your, just take a minute to think about the composition. Take a minute to think about lighting, as you're just commented on, and take a minute to think, if I'm going to do a window pull, what do I want to show, what do I want to do? I think that everybody, we're all so, especially the newer photographers, are so wrapped up, and then it's understanding, because this is hard stuff sometimes.
And it's very hard.
And there, people are learning that. And they're so wrapped up in their lighting, and they're so wrapped up in the trying to get whatever they're getting and just come away with a good quality picture, which some of them are struggling to get that. But they're doing that. And I want people to always remember, I always say, before you push the button on the first shot, look at your model, look at your pillows, look at, did I leave something in the scene? But then add on to that, is this the best composition for this showing what we want to show? Is it wide enough? Is it narrow enough? And then take a moment to say, okay, we're going to see the window. What do I want? What is appropriate? And this could only take 30 seconds, 20 seconds. And I think it's worth time, worthwhile, maybe not just for a bathroom shot or something like this, but an important shot in the house, I think it's worthwhile. Putting these things into your repertoire of thinking, going down your mental list of what I need to do, and then add that.
Yeah, that's perfect, Rich. It's funny, because that's exactly what Tony, who we had on 2 weeks ago, said. And he said, everybody, right before you're about to take a shot, is just step back and think about what you're about to do for a minute and make sure it makes sense. But let me ask you, Gary, you started our conversation today, obviously stating that you're an architectural photographer, and PFRE is geared towards real estate photographers. Mm-hmm. although I'm sure a lot of architectural photographers read it too. Do you think that any of these rules or your theories change because, or have you come up with these theories because your focus now is more on architectural design? Have they ever changed? Do they relate differently to a real estate photographer or an architectural photographer? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it changes. It never changed for me. I've always felt this way before I even thought about it. It was just something I naturally gravitated towards when I first started shooting real estate. I was just shooting HDR, but I found myself turning down the settings in, you know, the automatic blending that my software was doing to keep the windows a little bit brighter, because I was put off by the results when the windows were too dark. So, and I even sometimes went in and brushed in some additional highlights in the windows to sort of meet that goal that I had. So it's always been an aesthetic that I liked personally, and it hasn't changed at all. And I started out shooting a few years ago with Scott Hargis's method, like Rich was talking about. I bought his books, I bought his ebook, and I bought his tutorial series, a couple different versions of it. And I totally drank the Kool-Aid. I tried for about a year and a half. I was shooting, trying to capture every photo in one exposure, but I exposed my windows a little bit brighter. And I think I remember Scott Hargis talking about overexposing the windows by one or two stops. I think I probably got that from him, if I'm remembering that correctly. So it's always been sort of in the back of my mind. And this is sort of a recent thing in the last year, I would say, that I've been really thinking about why. It's like such a great question, no matter what you're talking about. The question why, when you really think about it, it can really enlighten you on so many different levels, no matter what you're thinking about or what you're talking about. So I started thinking about why. Why do I like this? And I came up with the whole idea that realistic equals relatable. And that's why I'm relating to certain photos. When they have a certain aesthetic that appeals to me, it's usually because they look realistic, and then there's a lot of natural light.
And I'll say one thing too, is in the last 6-8 months, I've been doing more design photography and going for the design look. And that kind of equates to, but it's different than real estate, because we're not selling the view in design photography generally. Right. And I found it to be, almost harder to do reverse window pulls. Spending the time that we have spent to get a good window pull, or to maybe too dark a window pull, spend some time and try and figure out how to do the opposite, where the window itself is not completely blown out, and you still have the view though blown out. So I think it's another, you know, trick in your book, but I really think that you've done some clarification, and I think everybody, I think we're all on the same side. I will say though that there's probably a few people I noticed that commented that this is what my agents want and this is what I'm going to give them. But again, maybe we're not arguing the same. They're not arguing with you, but they think they are, because their view may not be that dark in what you're referring to. So, you know, maybe we should have had on some critique images, and maybe we'll have another.
That would be cool.
But we can show examples of what you're talking about. But I think we can all now chill out and take this in with this understanding. Yeah. Because I think the goal is not to, you're not like this guy coming out and trying to piss people off for this and that.
Jeez.
Like, who are you, Gary? Well, you're just a guy with an opinion. I know. I think it's really good. And I think, thanks, because I'm now a better understanding what you're talking about, what's irking you. And
when I said window pulls, that might have been a mistake, because that, like to your point before, the window pull is just a technique of exposing for the window. But you can, just like any other technique, you can take it too far, or you can do it just right, or you can do it not enough. It's finding that sweet spot, you know?
And you're basically saving everybody work, because you don't have to go for that dark exposure to do whatever you have to do, change your settings to go, you know, lower your ISO, raise your shutter speed all the way up there to go ballistic, where you're sucking every single ounce of life out of the image just to get that window. And I think it's really, it's just more of a clarification to people that we're not talking what you thought we might be talking, or you, I'm not speaking for you though, Gary, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I think we're on the same page. Yeah. I think we're on the same page. You brought up something interesting that I've been thinking about a lot. Not just since writing this, but I think I spend too much time thinking. I'm starting to realize that. But this notion that it's what my clients want. There's going to be truth to that, but that in itself is a really interesting discussion to me. And I approach that topic.
Well, it's funny you say that. Sorry for interrupting you, Gary. Mm-hmm. But if you go back to your comments on your first article, Scott, who we were just talking about, actually wrote an interesting comment on that specifically. Yes. And
yeah,
what he wrote, I recommend everybody to go back to the article and read Scott's comment, because I think he was dead on in that. And
I agree.
Just to kind of, I don't remember specifically what he said, but just kind of to kind of sum it up and reiterate it, he basically said the gist of something like, well, if you're just delivering what your clients want, your clients are essentially your boss. And didn't we all get into this so we don't have a boss? So, but yeah. I think, and I don't know if this is where you're going with this, and I'll let you talk in a sec, but I think what he was getting at was, you know, part of what you do and the work you produce should have some of your ideas and beliefs on it too, and not necessarily just what your clients want. And if your clients are asking you to do things that aren't what you necessarily like doing, then they shouldn't be your clients.
That's right. I turn down work all the time because it's stuff I don't want to do, or because the expectations don't jive with what I like to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's someone else that'll do that and they'll be better at it because they enjoy it. That's true for any business. I'm really convinced that's, you have to know when to say no. And specifically in this particular realm, real estate agents are not typically photographers. They don't really know how to do our job, just like most of us don't know how to do their job. There are some photographers who are also licensed agents, so there's exceptions, of course. But yeah, they don't know how to do our job. They haven't built a book of business as a photographer delivering consistent results. And if you make some, I feel pretty passionately that if you make some decisions about what your photos should look like based around what you like photos to look like, a few things will happen. One, you'll be having more fun because you'll get excited about the work you're producing. That's really important. The other aspect of it is you'll start to sort of build a look that's uniquely yours. And that's really important. When you have that, that in itself is a differentiator, and there's no one else that can do it the same way that you do. And that immediately makes you more attractive to the marketplace. If you know how to use all the tools and use them in a way that's consistent with a look that you like to produce, it's going to differentiate you. And in a lot of cases, that also means you can charge a little more and not work as much if that's what you want to do. I mean, there's so many different things you could do, but yeah, you are running a business. You don't have an employer. And the customer is always right, but we're not talking about customer service here. We're talking about the idea that you're providing a service and you're being hired to do work that's consistent with the work of yours that's been seen by these clients. And I think that's a really important mindset to have. And I think it's going to help advance your career. In fact, if you're doing something that's yours and only yours and doesn't look like everyone else's photos, that's going to be, to a savvy agent, especially, something that they can use to differentiate themselves. I've got the best photographer in town. Look at his photos. They don't look like anybody else's. I'm making up an example, but I do have a handful of clients these days for real estate that I shoot for fairly weekly, fairly regularly. I shoot, one to four listings a week as I can fit it into my schedule. And it's just for a handful of clients that are so hell-bent on having me photograph their listings and nobody else because my photos look different. And part of that is the natural light, and another part of that is the brighter windows, unless there's something we need to sell out that window.
And I want to add, and it's funny, I'm going to say Scott Hargis again. You know, we're talking about Scott. Should be the Scott Hargis. We should have him on this podcast to defend himself. No, but I'm always in Scott's corner. I'm a believer. I mean, I'm a disciple, and he's always in the back of my mind. But the thing that I learned the most about from his videos were how to talk to agents. What are we selling? What are we shooting? Things like, you don't need to see the whole couch because you know the other half is there. You don't have to show the whole refrigerator. You don't have to show the toilet because we know it's there. But these things are really, really important to set yourself up for success with your expectations of your clients. And that is best done before you start, to try and massage them, to try and get them to understand what your goal is and why you're doing what you're doing. And hopefully it will be a good symbiotic relationship. Now, I have recently had a few agents that I've had to fire because it's, and they're not wrong, but it's just that they wanted work that was consistently three quarters of a stop to a stop overexposed. Now, that might be because their monitor's dark, but I basically told them, I'm not going to be able to shoot for you again, and I don't think you should have me shoot for you again because you're looking for a different look, and I just don't do that. And I can't double check what I'm doing. I can't be thinking. I've got to just do what I do.
That's right. I
think you have a really good heart-to-heart with your agent, and the earlier the better. Set yourself up for success where they're just going, well, Rich, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing it, and I'm just going to let you go do what you do. And that's where it's all about. And, you know, when you're getting into this game, you've got to feel your way around that. But the sooner you can understand what you're doing and you can have validity with what you're saying, you can say quickly, I'm not, just, you know, I don't expose that because I don't want to accentuate zero lot line. I don't want to expose that because it's unnatural looking. And they'll start going, oh, okay, if you say so, because you sound like you know what you're doing. And even if you don't, you can fake it till you make it. But understand what, you know, look at people's photographs that you admire and find out if you can, what are they doing and what is making it that way, and then make that look your own, whatever that look is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really great. And I had an experience that along those same lines that is worth mentioning. I had a new client that came to me by way of referral. It was a referral from a friend, not another real estate agent. But this particular agent looked at my portfolio on my website and looked at other listing photos that I had shot. And when she contacted me, she said something like, I really love your photos. I have this new listing and I'd like to give you a try on this. And if it works out, we can move forward and keep working together. I said, sure, let's do it. And so I went and shot this nice little townhouse. And I did it the way I always do it. I turned off all the lights and I had bright exposures on the windows. Nothing blown out, but they were bright. She didn't mind the windows. She liked that. But she, after I delivered the photos, she asked me if I would come back and shoot the house again, and she would pay me my full rate, but to shoot it again with the lights turned on. And I said, no, I'm sorry. You have not seen a single photo of mine with the lights turned on. And you went out of your way to tell me that you like the look of my photos. And I didn't say it exactly like this, but I delivered consistently with all the work of mine that you saw that caused you to call me. And if you want me to go back and turn the lights on, they're not going to look like my photos and I'm not going to like them. And I think you'd be better off hiring somebody else who regularly shoots with the lights turned on, because that's a look that they like and they'll do a better job at it than I would. And no, Gary, she didn't disagree. She said, okay, I understand.
Gary, what if you go into a house? We're getting off tangent.
It is a little off topic. Yeah.
What if you got like Chihuly lights? Hope I didn't pronounce that wrong. But let's say you've got some impressive lighting scenarios. You're going to turn on lights sometimes, aren't you? Especially for a lighting designer.
Well, that's different. But actually, on that note, I see plenty of ads for lighting companies in magazines where the light fixtures are turned off in the ad. Mm. Seriously, go.
So you're sticking
by the magazines, and it's there are times where I'll turn them on if it adds something to the photo meaningful. Yeah. Then I'll turn them on. I usually turn them on if it's like a windowless bathroom, because the light has to come from somewhere. It needs to make sense. Realistic equals relatable. I keep saying that it's not realistic to have a ton of daylight in a bathroom with no window. So yeah, I turn the lights on sometimes when it makes sense and when it can add something. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, Gary, because we're running low on time and we only have a couple of minutes left. You wrote a part two to this article, I guess, which released a little while ago. Was that a justification for the comments you received on article part one? Or was this something that you planned on doing? Or, you know, tell me a little bit about that. And if so, do you plan on releasing a part three? And is there more to this that you have going on in your head as you think all the time?
There isn't. There are a lot of things I'm going to write about because I keep thinking about them. But this topic is done. So when I wrote the first one, I wrote it as part one of two. And when I closed out the first one, I said what the second one was going to be about. The second one's about, it sort of backs up everything I wrote in the first one, but the reason I didn't do it all in one blog post is because it just would have been way too long. It was already pretty long as it was. Honestly, it surprised me how many people seem to have read the whole thing, because I know the internet is a place with a lot of short attention spans and longer articles don't always get read. So I'm happy people read it, and I hope they read the second one all the way through. But the idea with the part two was just a continuation, and it was always going to be written exactly that way. It wasn't written already by the time the first one was released, though. So the idea with part two is the concept that we live in a 3D world. We have three dimensions. We see length, width, height, width, and depth. But photos are just two-dimensional. They're just length and height. And there's a lot that needs to go on to effectively translate the three-dimensional scene in front of your camera into a two-dimensional photograph. And there are some decisions you can make that will help add that depth that's missing in the two-dimensional object. And part of that is having a foreground, a middle ground, and a background properly defined. And the other part of that is creating the depth with the lighting, which is just sort of having a background that's darker, a background that's brighter than the foreground so that it pulls the eye through and it kind of gives you a feeling not unlike what you would feel if you were standing there. So that's the other part of why I like to expose the windows a little bit brighter. It's sort of an additional layer on the why. So having the windows exposed brighter than the interior, the windows themselves or the view outside the windows then become the background in the photo. And if they're brighter, your eye just kind of travels through the photo a little more easily. The whole light, dark to light thing is very real, and it makes a big difference in the outcome of the photo, in my opinion. So I talk a lot about that aspect of it in the second part of the article.
Did anything in the second article change based off all the feedback you got, both positive and negative, on the first one?
No, not at all. There was one thing I wrote at the very end of it. I'll have to look at it again, that I wrote sort of as a tying it all together in a way that I'm not sure I would have if it wasn't for the comments in the first article. But other than like one little sentence, maybe two sentences toward the end, everything else was exactly what I had written down in outline format from the get-go.
Cool. All right. Well, we're low on time here, but I hope for some people who reacted negatively to your article, they have a little bit of a better understanding to your opinion. And let's just, you know, re-mention that it's just an opinion. There's no rules to any of this that we do. Right. And that helps define each person's look, which is what we were talking about before. You know, if your look is, you know, darker windows, then so be it. You know, all the power to you. Mm-hmm. Who are we to criticize other people's looks? But yeah, hopefully this will shed some light into your thought process when you go into a shoot and your theories behind why you expose most of the time brighter windows, minus those, you know, few occasions we spoke about when you have something that you need to show, obviously, outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the context of what you're doing is you're selling something. And the better you can make it look, the better it's going to work for your client and for your portfolio. And I just lean toward making things look and feel realistic and natural. And I also have to say, there were a lot of positive comments too, Brian. There were a lot of positive ones. Yeah, I think more positive, actually. I haven't counted, but.
Yeah, no, I said positive and negative.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not one to try to defend, but I do really love a good conversation, and that's what I hoped would happen. And I'm so glad that it did, because there was a really good dialogue in those comments. And I think there are currently around 30 comments on the first blog post, and that's quite a lot of people chiming in and talking about it on both sides of it. And that's just really fun for me. And I hope that happens with the second article. It's going to be released tonight, the night that we're recording this. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, and I want to say that the thing I'm taking away most about this whole podcast, and also the podcast we had with Tony Colangelo, is think before you push the button. What am I doing? Why am I doing? And I think that would be the best thing anybody could do, is just spend a second before you push the button after you've done your lighting and you've done your, you know, setting up your shot, your composition. Just, what are we selling? Should I do this and should I not do that? And I think it's something that some people are just, we're all wrapped up and got to do fast, fast, fast and go through it. But that doesn't mean you can't take 10 seconds to think about what you're doing.
So. I agree. Well said.
Okay.
All right, Gary. Well, thank you for coming on again. Hopefully we'll have you on again down the line. It's always a fun conversation when we get to talk. And
thank you. Yeah, I'd really like that.
Maybe you'll write something else in a couple of months that causes a little chaos.
I bet there's other stuff there. I know, Gary. Come on.
I'll try. Yeah.
We can have you on again for a nice another conversation. But again, appreciate you coming on, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me back.
I love seeing your behind the scenes on Instagram. So
yeah, I'll try keeping that up too. That's been fun.
Yeah, what's your Instagram handle, and what's your website again?
Instagram is at Gary Gomez Photo, and my website is garygomez.com, and the tutorial is at masteringrealestatephotography.com.
G-A-R-E-Y.
So that's it.
That's it. Okay.
I think we spoke the first time around why you have that E in there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's not my fault. Yeah. Well, thank you, guys.
It sets you apart from all the other Garys. So that's
right.
Good.
It's good part stuff. Of my brand now.
It's your theme. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Okay, man. Brian, so what do we want everybody to do?
Yeah, the same old as we always ask them. Send some Ask the Guys in. We have a bunch coming in, so we try to keep everyone busy with that. While in between interviews, we try to answer as many questions as we can. And like everything else, go subscribe to our newsletter so you know when new podcasts come out, when new articles come out, when new webinars are in the works. We got a lot going on, Rich. So if everyone wants to hear about it, make sure you're subscribed.
And I was just thinking, there's probably several, at least one or two people out there in podcast land that don't know we're also doing this video. You can watch this whole conversation. And where do you got to go to see that, Brian?
Either our YouTube channel has all the video podcasts we've been doing. I think we have, this is probably 8 or 9 or 10 even already. So we've been doing it for a while, as well as on our website, on each specific episode page, the video is embedded too. So we should probably start uploading them to our Facebook page too. So maybe we'll do that.
But let's make sure everybody subscribes and checks back, and we're loving doing this and getting great guests like Gary on, and we've got some really good ones coming up. And I just want to say it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, Rich. So you're going to take us out with your
Shoot smarter, shoot better, but whatever you do, just go shoot some spaces.
This episode of Shooting Spaces has been brought to you by HDPhotoHub.com, helping your real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge. Just upload your photos and your clients get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically. Register today at HDPhotoHub.com using referral code SHOOTINGSPACES to get your first property marketing kit absolutely free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's HDPhotoHub.com.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.